Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel for this morning. It is a very special day. We'll tell you in just a moment why it is so special, but we're very, very happy. You can tell by the kisses how happy we are.
Stop it, Alan.
Oh, Alan, keep going. I like the view from here.
WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Roof.
Hey. Newsman Ray Graff is here. Welcome back, Ray.
Thanks very much. It's nice to be here.
And political consultant Libby Post joins us.
We have a dog in the control
That's
room.
Right.
I'm so happy.
Murray is here.
Yippee Skippy.
Murps. Wait, it's been a while since we've had Murray around, so
right.
It's very exciting to have Murray here.
I've had to stay home.
He didn't like getting up at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah. I bet he didn't.
He gets me out of bed, and I don't want to get out of bed.
Was that your Murray voice?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay. You were channeling Murray there?
I do great dog.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. There you go.
He can have my chair. I mean, you know, if he wants it.
You're not getting out of it that easy, buddy.
All right.
All right. We have a lot to talk about this morning, and I think that you'll have a lot to say. And you'll want to share your comments at roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. All right, let's get to the big story. It's a exclusive in the New York Times today and written by not one but three reporters. And it is it's a fascinating story. It is regarding Governor Cuomo and regarding the Moreland Commission. With Albany rocked by seemingly endless barrage of scandals and arrests, Governor Andrew Cuomo set up a high-powered commission last summer to root out corruption in state politics. It was barely 2 months old when its investigators, hunting for violations of campaign finance laws, issued a subpoena to a media buying firm that had placed millions of dollars worth of advertisements for the New York State Democratic Party. The investigation did not realize that the firm, Buying Time, also counted Mr. Cuomo among its clients, yeah, having bought the airtime for his campaign when he ran for governor in 2010. Word that the subpoena had been served quickly reached Mr. Cuomo's most senior aide, Lawrence Schwartz. He called one of the commission's three co-chairs, William Fitzpatrick, the district attorney in Syracuse. This is wrong, Mr. Schwartz said, according to Mr. Fitzpatrick, whose account was corroborated by three other people told about the call at the time. He said that the firm worked for the governor and issued a simple directive, pull it back. The subpoena was swiftly withdrawn. The panel's chief investigator explained why in an email to the two other co-chairs later that afternoon. They apparently produced ads for the governor, she wrote. Great show, by the way, Governor, she wrote.
And by the way, just as you're reading this, I don't think that the chief investigator is the bad guy here. She was explaining this in the best.
Right.
She was saying why, you know, they had to do it. One of the things that the Cuomo people did that was so, suspect, in my opinion, in the beginning is basically the chief executive, the person who was running the commission, was their person.
Right. So the panel pulled back subpoena. The pulled back subpoena was the most flagrant example of how the commission, established with great ceremony by Mr. Cuomo in July of 2013, was hobbled almost from the outset by demands from the governor's office. While the governor now maintains he had every right to monitor and direct the work of a commission he had created, many commissioners and investigators saw the demands as politically motivated interference that hamstrung an undertaking that the governor had publicly vowed would be independent. The commission developed a list of promising targets, including a lawmaker suspected of using campaign funds to support a girlfriend in another state and pay tanning salon bills.
If he had supported the girlfriend in his own state, that wouldn't have been so bad. But in another state,
right, take that money across state lines. Yeah. If you're going to support a tanning salon, for God's sakes, make sure it's a New York tanning salon.
Oh, heavens.
The panel also highlighted activities that it saw as politically odious as well, but perfectly legal, like exploiting a loophole to bundle enormous campaign contributions. And finally, but a three-month examination by the New York Times found that the governor's office deeply compromised the panel's work, objecting whenever the commission focused on groups with ties to Mr. Cuomo or on issues that might reflect poorly on him. That is a small part of the article.
Small,
stir, huge. Mix, and
massive,
enjoy. And
massive, massive. But Ray, would you find that the quote from his initial press conference, in which he says, follow the money, because it's important. And, you know, you do that, you follow the money, and nobody is exempt. You're perfectly welcome to follow, you know, to investigate me, the Attorney General, right?
Right. And I believe that was on page 47 of this article. But, so according to this New York Times article, Mr. Cuomo said early on in the commission, anything they want to look at, they can look at. Me, the Lieutenant Governor, the Attorney General, the Comptroller, any senator, any assemblyman, he said last August. And then later on, again, quoting from the New York Times, a commission appointed by and staffed by the executive cannot investigate the executive, the statement said. It is pure conflict of interest and would not pass the laugh test.
So in other words, first he said you could, and then first you say you can, and then you can't.
Right.
I don't know that one. I'm a few bars.
It's like, you know, put your
you don't know
right
that
foot
one?
In and your left foot out.
Out. That's right. Hokey pokey.
Shake it all yeah. about. Yeah. That's a difference.
The
That's
problem
a
difference. With this
different hokey pokey.
Yeah, it is. The problem with this story is it's not easy. You know, when I was reading it this morning, I was thinking, well, this is Cuomo's Washington, George Washington Bridge. You know.
Nah.
Well, the problem is it's not so easy. It's not as easy as no. they close down the bridge, and it's not this 10-second ability to grasp what happened here. I mean, it's Cuomo's anti-corruption. It's an amazing turnabout for a man who came into office yeah. wanting to clean up government and showing that clean everybody up but me. And yeah. it's really well said. Despicable.
Let me ask the question that I ask all the time in these situations, and I get the same answer all the time, but I'm going to ask it just because I feel it's my obligation.
Ditto.
Which is, how can you be so stupid?
No, you see, I have to tell you that when he set this thing up in the beginning, I couldn't understand it. I said, this is going to be an embarrassment. This is going to bite him in the posterior. I mean, here's a guy who's going to go into the election with $50 million to run with. You know, and do I think this is going to hurt him in the election? Man, a little bit, but he won't lose. Dick Nixon, you may remember, everybody knew about Watergate by the time he ran the second time, but nobody, it didn't seriously affect people. The real question to me is, what is Preet Bharara looking at here? This is the U.S. attorney. He was infuriated, apparently, when they closed down the Moreland mm-hmm. Act Commission. And he came by and grabbed everything that they had. And I believe he's been calling people to a grand jury, I think. But I may be wrong about that. I know that they've been doing an investigation of this thing. Now, if a U.S. attorney comes up with something really bad, that's a whole different story mm-hmm. than an article in the New York Times.
As we see it in the Times, Alan, do you see really any crime? I mean, you may see something here that would not perhaps
pass the stink test
or the laugh right. test, as the governor's
or
office
the
said.
Ethics test.
But so, according to the New York Times, the most flagrant example of the governor controlling this commission was the. They wanted to investigate this advertising firm, I believe.
Well, that was one example of it. This
right,
is
and they huge, but yeah. Schwartz said pull it back, according pull to the New back. York Times, yeah. and they pulled the subpoena back.
Schwartz is the hammer man in the administration.
But is that a crime?
That's I have my to say, point. I worked with him years ago. But he's the hammer man.
Is that a crime? That's the question.
No,
otherwise, this goes away, and no one will remember in 3 years except you and the people who work in the press corps in Albany.
Well, let me put it this way: you're probably right. But there's also something else here. If somebody will testify that there was a quid pro quo, let me give you an example. This firm that was pulled, the subpoena was pulled back on, is a firm that has done the Cuomo ads. Now, let's just say that not only did they do the Cuomo ads, but they did the state ads at the same time. Let's just say somebody has to get up there before a grand jury and not want to perjure themselves. And they are asked the question, was there a quid pro quo? You get to do the state ads. If you do these ads, either at a cut rate or for nothing, those that could hurt them.
It won't happen, though. As you're the first
Why
one,
do you say it won't happen?
You're the first one to say that anybody who knows the political game does not make those inferences concrete.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, I'm uncompromising in one position on the governor, and that is, I think he is and always has been a strategic genius. So, strategic genius, meaning, just to finish that one thought, you know, you would wonder why he started up with this stupid Moreland
and settled for absolutely nothing. And
right.
How do you know? I mean, and you can only assume that it was shut down because it was coming a little too close to home, right?
I think what happened was that the potential for all other things like this became... Now, the legislature got furious mm-hmm. about this
right.
because it was clear that Cuomo set up the so-called Moreland Act Commission to go after the legislature. While he said he didn't, it was for everybody.
It was his steamroller. It was,
and you'll remember he did something that was strategically brilliant. He got Eric Schneiderman, not always his best friend, the attorney general, mm-hmm. and he said, because the executive branch doesn't have the right to do that, we're going to have you, like in the old Wyatt Earp films, swear in all the members of the Moreland Act Commission as deputy attorney generals. So now they can go after anybody. Remember that? That was good.
You know, at least when Governor Christie set up his commission to look into his issue, he came out fine. You know, nobody...
Wow.
They cleared him, you know.
So
when they come close, then he says pull it back. And I guess what I'm struggling with is does this and I understand Ray's point about the legality, but does this hurt him politically in the sense of the fact that this is yet another flagrant example of a governor who has his finger in every pie?
Well, he certainly does that. I mean, everybody who knows about Andrew Cuomo knows that, you know, he's a guy who believes in strict chain of command.
Right.
I mean, around here, we don't do that at WAMC, but in other places, they do. A guy at the top, and some people think that's very effective administration, to be running everything from the very top of the pie.
The food chain, right.
Is your question really, will he be president of the United States?
That is my question.
Will this stop him from being president of the United States?
This won't.
That's exactly right, Ray, because right. he's not going
to
be president.
Not going to be happen to begin with.
No,
if he was in the running, this is not a deal breaker.
Is governor. I mean, the first step is, will it have any impact at all on
Well, let
him
me put it this way.
Governor?
You mentioned Chris Christie. You know, it's forgotten. The George Washington Bridge is apparently forgotten. Front page of the Times.
Well,
he's running around the country. He wants to be president.
He seems to be forgotten as a candidate, though.
Yes.
I mean, you don't even mention him as
No,
in
no,
the...
no. I don't think that's right.
No?
I agree with Alan. I think he's running all around. I think he's running all around the country, you know, acting as a very presidential.
Because you used to see him at the top of the polls, and now when he's mentioned, he's very low in those polls. But I
Yeah, but who do they got? No.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Rand Paul.
Which is why you would think he would be higher. But anyway.
Right. Well, you may be right. You may be right. I'll give you that.
Okay, so, Libby, you haven't weighed in on this yet.
Well, this is just another example. I mean, Alan talked about the management from the top. This is not a small business. This is a massive corporate enterprise. And when it's hamstrung and controlled from the top, things don't get done. And and he came into office saying he was going to get things done. This is an example of things not getting done. Nothing getting done around ethics. Nothing getting done around stopping the corruption that we all know is par for the course here in Albany. It's just part of the game because of the way it is.
But let me interrupt you for 1 second and let me tell you. That if he's listening right now, and
yes.
maybe they listen.
Yes, maybe.
If he's listening right now, he's saying, no, that's wrong. We got a lot done. We got the legislature to agree to a ethics package.
Yeah.
Well, of course,
it has
it
no
was
teeth.
A phony ethics package.
Right. It has no teeth. Yeah. Look, he's gotten some things done. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not with the sense of camaraderie and team spirit that one would hope would come from a leader. And
well, I think there are those who would say that he does not play well with others.
Yeah, the sandbox is empty.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I do think that this, because this is such a complicated story, it's not going to have the traction that the George Washington Bridge story had.
Unless Preet Bharara comes up with something.
Right, or unless the Daily News and the Post can bring it down to 3 or 4 syllables,
right?
With a big picture,
or 140 characters
that says it all, you know. And it's not going to be that easy. And it's politics as usual, and I think the majority of the people are going to go, well, that's just the way it is.
Do we miss our break?
No, we're okay.
Okay, because Schwartz, and this is much later, this is page 96 of the article, says, and I'll quote again from the New York Times, Schwartz said the commission was examining conduct that was, quote, understood in Albany, but might look funny to outsiders, according to the participant, mm-hmm. whose account was corroborated by others with knowledge of the discussion. Now, this is key. Alan, I want you to weigh in on this in 12 seconds. Things can be twisted against the governor by the legislature, the participant recalled Mr. Schwartz saying. You're looking in places where there may be no wrongdoing, but people will twist it to make it look like there was. Is that a valid political point for Schwartz to bring up with the commission?
Oh, Schwartz is running for his life. It's Schwartz.
But that, I mean, there's
it's
some Schwartz. Political sense in that,
no,
isn't there?
No, there isn't, no. It's Schwartz.
It's, who, he's it's, the one who could end up getting hung out to dry.
Yeah. That's right.
In essence, because
Schwartz is tough.
Yeah, he'll
he's
protect.
He's the tough guy. Of
he'll
the
protect the governor to the last second.
We've had two
letters
that say weighing in on this, saying, Alan, will you please show Murray on the camera?
Where is Murray?
He's right there.
Let's see. Okay, this is going to be it, Murray.
Okay.
All right. All right. Can we do it after the break?
Okay. Murray's nodding off.
Break? Okay, right after the break.
Okay, we'll do it. Oh, you got it? No, here we go.
Here's Murray.
Here we go. This will do it into the break.
Okay. Hi, everybody.
All right. We'll be right back. Wave, Murray.
Wave.
Bye. Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable. Ray's doing it so well. You want to talk, Murray?
Sure.
You want to talk?
Hi, everybody.
You write all those wonderful columns.
Yeah.
And you have so much to say.
I do. I really do. And I'm really good at typing. Nobody really, even though I don't have an opposable thumb.
He's licking Joe's face.
Let's send this tape directly to the Museum of Broadcasting.
I love you, Joe. I really do.
All right. I miss having a dog at work, I must say.
NPR's version of Mr. Ed. Nice.
It's Mr. Murray.
Do we have some letters?
I just want to say, yes, we'll do the letters. I just want to say, as Ray was entering the studio, the first comments were, what's the dog doing here?
Exactly. Well, that's why they call him, you know.
Feel the love.
Yeah. Okay, Michael, our regular correspondent says, what a beautiful pup. West Highland Terrier?
That's right.
How old? 6 years old?
Cute.
There he is.
Cute.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Took cute pills.
Used
okay.
To sit at my desk.
And Eric's checking in on the news of the day, and he says, what is Murray's stance on fracking? He's dead set against it. He told me just the other day.
He's on all fours on fracking.
And the follow-up question is kibble or can? Neither.
Ah, good question.
Very expensive stuff.
What do you do? What do you do for the Murray?
Well, we give
him a little sushi.
No, every day he is given this very special diet recommended by the vet, and also a little bit of hamburger meat.
Wow. Yes. Mm.
Cooked or raw?
Cooked.
Yeah, it's got to be cooked.
Yeah.
This morning I forgot to bring the hamburger meat. He wouldn't look at the other stuff, so I cooked him up an egg and put the egg on when we got here and put the egg on the food.
And that was
good. He ate it.
Yeah, they like that.
Here.
He just wanted something warm.
What do you? Boy, what do you got there?
A treat.
Are you giving him combos?
No, I always have treats in my pocket for dogs.
OxyContin?
No.
Yeah.
Stop. Okay, Ray, you wanted to bring up a point, I believe.
I couldn't find the quote.
Oh, you can't find
the quote? I can't find the quote.
All right.
It must be on a page that didn't print out because the article was so huge.
Oh, so that must be the part that's on my desk.
Oh, I'll bet that is.
Okay.
You know what? You're right.
There you go.
Well, hold
right.
on. Oh, I don't have it up anymore.
Okay.
The point was written in about how Barbara Bartoletti from the League of Women Voters, that Cuomo created the commission to force the legislature into an ethics bill, and wouldn't it obviate his so-called initial intent to quote-unquote clean up Albany if, you know, on one hand he's pushing, on the other hand he wants to clean up Albany, but he's using these hardball tactics in order to do that, and isn't that part of the problem to begin with? And that's from Lynn, and I think I've expressed that correctly.
Well, good. I don't think I fully understood what was going on when you talked about it, but let me see if I can parse this.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
One, Barbara
Bartoletti. Are you saying I make no sense?
Barbara Bartoletti. Good. The commission, she's the issued in a long time.
League of Women Voters person.
But I think a lot of the goo-goos, otherwise known as the good government people, got sort of fooled. Because remember that what Cuomo was able to do when he pulled back the commission, he was able to say, well, what we were doing here is we got an ethics bill. Most people think that the ethics bill was, to put it mildly, what can you not say on the air?
Right.
But, you know, something that Murray might be identified with. And therefore, there were a lot of people who sort of said, you know, this is a good outcome as a result, but it really wasn't.
Because they actually did something. But if they do something that has no teeth, it's not worth doing.
Sure.
Oh, here it is. Then it relates to Bartoletti said. So this, again, from the New York Times, quoting, over 2 days of meetings with the commission's co-chairs last September, Mr. Cuomo personally suggested a way to squeeze members of the legislature into enacting ethics reform measures by issuing subpoenas to the law firms where many legislators earn sizable incomes for part-time work. And then the next
paragraph, was talking really about Shelley Silver, who makes a lot of money.
Yeah. Right.
But then months later, according to this article, Cuomo made it sound as if he bore no responsibility for those subpoenas. In a private meeting, according to one of the participants, he ascribed the subpoenas to cowboys on the commission. So this is just politics as usual, and nothing really illegal about it.
And we had our wonderful DA, David Soares, who is a terrific guy. Gutsy, could face down Cuomo over the occupiers, if you remember, in Albany and all the rest of it. And I asked him early, he said, well, the commissioners would never stand for being pushed around.
Well, how's your back feel?
But politically, is it not okay for a governor to say part of the reason this commission exists is to put pressure on the legislature?
But wait.
It can't be the legislature.
I once had a guy on. Well, never mind. But he said in the beginning, day one, follow the money.
Right.
Go where the corruption is.
And you can look at me.
You
said that too.
You can look at me. You can look at everybody else. Now it turns out the reason that this is damaging is it wasn't so. So, Ray, I reject categorically and fully.
Well, it was a question. And I said, is it not okay? Politically speaking, is that not fair game for an executive to apply pressure to fix what he perceives as a wrong in this matter?
Not when you're a hypocrite. In other words, you'd be right if he didn't say the exact opposite when he set up the commission.
Okay.
Don't you think?
That's all I got.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it.
Hand it over to Murray.
Right. You either want ethics throughout and corruption gone throughout, or you don't. It's not an either or. It's not, you know, a little bit.
Well, I think what the Times article does, the damage here is that they say it wasn't done because he arrived at an accommodation with the legislature. He pulled it back because he personally had a problem.
Right, right. If he didn't have a problem, they'd still be doing their work.
Well, one only can wonder about all those people on the commission, all those DAs, for example, who are there, some wonderful people, and a chief investigator, sounds terrific. Whether or not they're going to end up saying.
Mm-hmm.
I hope somebody was taking notes for a book.
Meanwhile, in Washington, two federal appeals court panels issued conflicting rulings Tuesday on whether the government could subsidize health insurance premiums for millions of Americans, raising yet more questions about the future of the health care law 4 years after it was signed by President Obama. The contradictory rulings will apparently have no immediate impact on consumers, but they could inject uncertainty, confusion, and turmoil into health insurance markets as the administration firms up plans for another open enrollment season starting in November. By a 2-1 vote, a panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit struck down a regulation issued by the Internal Revenue Service that authorizes the payment of premium subsidies in states that rely on the Federal Insurance Exchange. If it stands, the ruling could cut off financial assistance for more than 4.5 million people who are found eligible for subsidized insurance in the federal exchange. The Fourth Circuit panel upheld the subsidy, saying the IRS rule was a permissible exercise of the agency's discretion. In a separate case, the Justice Department informed a federal appeals court in Denver on Tuesday that the Obama administration would issue new rules within a month, revising a compromise on contraceptive coverage under the health care law in response to the recent Supreme Court ruling.
This is like who's on first when it comes to health care. But the bottom line here is they're going after the states that didn't put in the states that didn't put in their exchanges, and the folks had to go to the federal exchange to buy.
Right.
Those states that didn't put in their exchanges were run by Republicans who wanted to undermine the health care law
exactly
to begin with.
Right. Exactly right.
And so now they knew they could bring this to court. And so really, it's just a continuation of the same old of the Republicans not wanting people to have health care,
you know,
which is unfathomable to me.
You know, we talked about this the other day. Yes, you know, they kept saying it's like Common Core, you know, bad.
Right.
People don't know what's in the Common Core. If they did, they wouldn't say it was bad. But they don't know. And Obamacare, bad. Now it gets up to these two courts, which take diametrically opposed positions. It's going to go to the Supreme Court, which did rule that the program was legal.
That's
but
right.
But now they disobeyed their masters, and now you may have a 5-4 saying, yeah, we'll ruin the program. Now, what happens in Kentucky or some of these other states? Kentucky actually has a good state
exchange,
law.
Yeah. But
where there's a federal group where people now are getting health care for the first time, are you telling me that those governors and those other guys are going to say, oh, well, we're taking away your health care benefits? It's like taking Medicare away or taking Social Security away. There's going to be trouble
in
River City.
The politics, political strategy from the Republicans, who have pretty much dropped Obamacare as an issue, was way ahead of this case.
Right.
The case is playing catch up, and it's not the outcome that they would have wanted because it will just hurt them in the polls.
Libby, I noticed that our wonderful colleague Ray has a pained look on
his face. No, listening.
No,
actually taking
pained.
It in, listening.
Oh, were you weren't pained? Okay.
No.
I just wanted to
not
sure.
At the moment, but keep going.
Make sure you weren't pained.
No,
there's still 13 minutes left.
We have another letter.
Okay, I just want to say the fact of the matter is that there were 47 million people in this country who didn't have access to health care, and now 10, 15 million people do. And that's a great credit to who we are as a nation to make sure that we're taking care of people and giving them the health care they need. Nobody should be without health care. No one.
Well, we agree on this. However, I've said it before, I'll say it again. We have a middle class which either votes with the interests of those above them or those below them,
mm-hmm.
or the way they see
right.
it. Many of those people don't like the fact that among those 40 million people or so, people are getting something. They don't like that.
Except that there's a lot of people in the middle class now that are getting their health care
through
this.
And whose kids are extended.
Right.
You know, all the
last night I was at my synagogue board meeting, and we were talking about the health insurance rates are going up, and we talked about going to the exchange. And there were people in my on the board who own businesses, and they said, yeah, we went to the exchange, and it was great. And we got a little bit of a break, and everybody's getting better coverage. And so this is working. And
Ray, you look a little pained.
Not pained at all. But I do want to say that I believe you run the risk here, Alan and Libby, mm-hmm. of making it too much of a concrete issue. In other words, there are those in the country who would say, I have an issue with the federal government mandating that I get. In other words, we had we had a barbecue with a couple of younger folks this past weekend who said, yeah, we have a small business. We're young. We've never really had health insurance. Now we have to get it.
Right.
And it's going to cost us a lot of money. Yeah. So there are those who say, we don't want the federal government telling me I have to do this.
Sure.
Same with the Common Core.
Sure.
We don't want
like paying income taxes, for example, or
stopping
at red lights.
Not at all the same. And you both know that. So.
Continue
on.
It is the same.
The federal government of Social Security costs you money to be in Social Security. Doesn't it?
I'm saying that there is a sizable portion of this country, the electorate, who say we don't like being told everything to do.
No, I get it.
Okay, and that's all. So I run the risk of making it very simplistic issue when it's not.
And when these 30-somethings go to the doctor and they're told, oh, I'm sorry, but you have cancer, and they don't have health insurance, who ends up paying for it?
Or they go to the emergency room.
Right.
My God,
they go
it's to a couple of thousand room. Dollars
That's
to
right.
walk in with a cold.
That's
well,
right.
you should have been at the barbecue.
Well, you know, people need to recognize that sometimes people doing things together for the greater good is really the best way to go. And healthcare is a right. I don't see it as something, well, if you have the money, you should get it.
Well,
it's
Harry
a right.
Truman said so. Franklin Delano
yes,
Roosevelt said so. They
absolutely.
Couldn't get it through this country.
Right. The problem, you know, we can get health care when we're 65, but guaranteed, but we can't do it up until then is a crime.
Which is why there ought to have been universal.
That's right. Single payer.
Yeah.
Because it works.
Yeah. Right. But now the question is, when it gets up to the Supreme Court, what will those five guys at the top mm-hmm. do? Who will they side with? And one could predict that since they declared the law legal, now they can do their damage and get in good with their
and
you know,
gut
peepers.
Parts of it.
Yeah. What
one know? Could predict, but one who predicted that they would strike it down initially, that one was incorrect.
Who was that?
That would have been you. So one may not know what.
One never knows.
One never knows.
They already did their damage with the contraception issue.
All right. Let's take a break. I believe we have
yeah,
letters.
Come on, Ray.
And
cool
then
down.
We'll come
oh,
back.
I'm cool, Daddy-O.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from Austerlitz Historical Society, presenting the 15th Annual Blueberry Festival in Old Austerlitz, New York, Sunday, July 27th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., oldausterlitz.org. Dorset Theater Festival, Dorset, Vermont, presenting David Ives' comedy, All in the Timing, dorsettheaterfestival.org for tickets. And Ye Old Warwick Bookshop, Warwick, New York, a Hudson River Valley bookseller specializing in new and vintage books, plus collectibles and curiosities, open 7 days a week, yeoldwarwickbookshop.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable panel. Libby Post, Ray Graff, Alan Chartok, and Murray Chartok in the studio this morning. And it's a pleasure to have you with us. We have letters to report. Alan.
Okay. Shelley says, we spend over $1,400 a month, and a month is in capital letters, on our health insurance. And we all know that my tax dollars are also subsidizing, quote, the others, unquote, who are paying $89 a month. There's four explanation points. This is not okay. My husband has chronic Lyme, and my insurance company does not even cover the treatment. We are in the middle class. We in the middle class are really tired. Helping the greater good, Libby, is fine. But who is helping us? Nobody. And that's from Shelley.
Well, that's the insurance company. You need to go to the insurance company because they're the ones who are making decisions about what's being covered. Lyme disease should be covered, and they're making money by not covering it.
Now, Kenner jumps in because of our discussion about Murray the Dog.
Yes.
And he says, could you please talk more about Mr. Ed, the greatest TV show ever?
Wilbur. I don't think that's a good idea.
And much less about
Wildly
corruption.
Sounded like Nixon just then.
And much,
get
and
Haldeman on the phone, Wilbur.
And much Wilbur. Less about corruption. Signed, Kenner.
All right, Kenner.
Okay.
All right, we'll talk more about Mr. Ed anytime.
Yep.
Okay.
On
all
for
right.
six seasons. Right?
Yeah, and
right?
they changed
season?
Networks.
Alan Young, and he bought
and,
the rights, I think, and then did it on his own for a couple
years. Yeah, he directed
it. Yeah.
Connie Hines, and do you remember the name of the horse?
Mr.
Horse.
Ed.
Ed.
No.
Oh, you mean the actor.
The actual name of the actor horse, the Palomino?
No.
Bamboo Harvester.
Of course.
Bamboo Harvester.
Wow.
Well, beat the glue factory. I mean, you know, Bamboo Harvester in front.
Bamboo Harvester was a gelding.
Well, he should have had a little higher voice
yeah.
there.
Well, actually, the voice was done by a country music star whose name eludes me at the moment.
Rocky Lane.
Of course, Rocky Lane.
Well,
Rocky we've exhausted
Lane,
that topic.
Bamboo Harvester.
Well,
but it woke
Bamboo
me up,
Harvester
actually.
Is going down a Rocky Lane.
Yeah, that's right. It's
sounds like an ice cream.
Right, it is.
Oh, you're absolutely right. It does sound like an ice cream.
We now return to vamping for the last 3 minutes of the program.
Did you get? I think we got more letters around.
Oh,
no,
we did?
Maybe not.
Yeah.
No, maybe we didn't. Maybe we didn't.
Well, we got one
here.
From
Joseph. Okay, Joseph says, for those who don't want to pay for health insurance, we are sick of paying for freeloaders who want the rest of us to pay for them when they get sick. And that's from an ER nurse.
Okay. Well, all right.
Well, all right. and like that.
Okay, we have 3 minutes, so let's quickly go to...
Let's go around the room.
All right, go ahead.
No, start with Libby.
Oh.
What do you want to say?
What do I want to say? I want to say that I read an interesting piece in the Times this morning that Lynn left for me about Putin and when he was a deputy mayor in Moscow.
Yeah.
He went to a conference and he started talking back then about the Russian people. I can't remember the Volk, I think is the word
Volk
that he used, you like know, him. And Rossiya Mir, which is the Russian world. And the whole notion, the whole thrust of this article was the fact that if there are Russians in Venezuela, he might think he has the right to go and nationalize those Russians. You know, that there, if there are Chinese people in Argentina, China, under this kind of mindset of, well, we have to free our people, would go and proclaim that they are citizens of China. And so it's just this whole, it's this just different way of looking
at... Well, we've been having this a long time.
Yeah,
Hillary brought it up.
And didn't Hitler?
Yes.
I mean, Hitler was the same kind of thing. You know, we have to take back
that's
the motherland.
Yes. Initial letters. So, okay.
What? Yeah. No.
Okay, no.
No, let's not go there.
That's not right.
No, that is not right.
I don't even want to know. I'm confused.
No, no.
Move on.
Okay. Let's move on.
Move on then. You, Ray, it's your
turn. I have nothing to say, but it's okay.
You have nothing
to say. No, that's
it. Good morning is all you have to say?
It's the lightning round.
Okay.
I find it fascinating that Donald Sterling has filed suit.
Yeah, and the coach says, I may not come back.
Yeah. So he filed a lawsuit in Los Angeles Superior Court Tuesday afternoon asking for an injunction to freeze the $2 billion sale to Microsoft chief Steve Ballmer, who wants to buy the team. He says that it is fraud. And he said that he also, I guess, there has caused emotional distress.
The league
his emotional distress.
Yes.
The league will say.
Which
now,
apparently also has made him, in that emotional distress, made him a racist.
However.
Uh-huh. I don't know how that works.
And I have a bridge I'd like to sign.
He has, if he has a case, and he's a lawyer, so theoretically he knows if he has a case, then does the NBA say, listen, you are ruining our brand here. The coach, your coach won't even coach. Heaven knows if LeBron and everybody else will say, we're not going to play in that arena while he owns the team. So the NBA then would say, you are ruining our brand and our opportunity for all the other owners and teams to make money. You got to go. So there will be competing lawsuits before you know it.
Anybody can sue anybody and will.
So you have the estranged wife against the husband.
Estranged wife who says the husband is not mentally there.
Right. So it should be fascinating.
Yes.
And also,
is that estranged or strange?
Estranged.
Right. Estranged.
As in separated with animosity.
See, yes. I got it. I was just trying to.
Can we talk about Murray again?
Separated because of animosity because he was having sex with another woman.
Right. Well, although the other woman says they weren't.
All right.
But that's besides the point.
We can end there.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, so
goodbye.
except for we got one more letter.
Right.
So Ray, it is unfair to mandate health insurance coverage, but fine to mandate auto insurance and helmet laws. We pay for the uninsured regardless, just in a more costly way. And there's no signature on that. It says Odo Bob, whatever that is.
I'm just relating a conversation I had with some folks at a barbecue.
Sure you are.
We'll be back tomorrow on the panel. The roundtable program will continue. We'll
get your dog and get out.
You're listening to the roundtable on WAMC.